The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story that comes from the Orient about a man who was suffering in the depths of the abyss. He was being in that torture. He was feeling the heat. He was feeling the pain. He was feeling that suffering. And he cried out, "Help me, save me." And a voice came down and says, "What good did you ever do on earth?" And the man had to think a minute. And the only thing that he could think of was that he said, "I was walking in the woods one day and I saw a spider and I didn't kill it." And a small, thin spider thread came on down. And the man grabbed onto it quickly. And then it started pulling him up out of the abyss. But when his fellow sufferers saw that he was escaping, they started grabbing hold of him and hanging onto his clothes and his ankles and his feet. And all of them were being carried up on that one thin spider thread. And the man was afraid it was going to break. He says, "Get off, get off." And he started kicking and twisting until everybody fell off. And it was when everybody else fell off that the thread broke. That thread was strong enough to carry them all out of the abyss. But one selfish soul broke it. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday, we begin Advent, a new church year. And as we move through this story, this whole year season, we realize how much we have gone through, how much that story of Christ uses just simple things. Maybe not a spider web, but God uses just simple things, simple events, common, ordinary things to bring about his mission of salvation. And at the same time, though, when extraordinary events or things happen against Jesus, when people are angry with him, when crises break out, God is still able to use those things to help bring about salvation as well then, too. God seems to turn things around. There's a lot of ironies in this story with Jesus throughout the year. We started that year, or this year, we started it with Advent of one lone voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And from there, people started coming out into the wilderness to hear this one lone voice. And we're starting to think, is the Messiah coming? Is it the time? Also in Advent then too, we hear about Mary, that she is chosen to be the one to carry the Christ child. And Mary is a simple peasant girl. Just common, ordinary person. And so then we move into Christmas and we find Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem. Joseph, too, is just a carpenter, a skilled laborer from a backwaters town, a small town somewhere's way out of the way. And they travel to Bethlehem. God uses the simple. God uses the ordinary. He used the normal things that we see in everyday life to bring about his mission. And again, we see that same thing when Jesus is born. He's born not in a fancy antiseptic hospital, but rather he's born in a stable, in one of the most humble places. And the baby is laid into a feeding trough as his first bed. God uses the ordinary things. But out of that, he can accomplish so much. But then you start getting into the controversy as well then too, as we hit Epiphany. We hear that story of the wise men, of them coming to see Jesus and stopping by Herod and asking, "Where is he?" And Herod says, "Well, if you find him, tell me so that I too can come worship him." But the wise men are warned by angels to go a different route. And so the babe is spared, even though Herod becomes angry and wants to kill all the babies in and around Jerusalem, all the male babies, 2 years and under. Mary and Joseph are able to escape. God thwarts the power, the evil power in this world. Those that claim to have power, those that want to use it for their own gain, for their own purposes, God overcomes them. And then when Epiphany ends, we come into the season of Lent, that season of preparation, that season of repentance, that season of getting ready for Jesus. And we hear the stories of how it builds to that climax of Jesus going to the cross, of how the religious leaders, once again, those who do have power, those who claim ownership, those are the ones who get thwarted. But Jesus uses plain, common, everyday things. He goes into Jerusalem. And then we hear on Maundy Thursday, he is arrested, put on trial, and he is crucified on Friday. It looks like his enemies have won. With the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is alive. He is alive and well. And then Jesus ascends into heaven. But as he goes, he gives that great commission: "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." He uses the common, everyday things, but out of that, such amazing things happen. Which brings us then to Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Again, you have disciples. They were fishermen. There was a tax collector. There was a zealot. They were normal people, just like you and I. They were normal people. But Jesus calls them into ministry. And on that day of Pentecost, they're all gathered together in that upper room. And God sends that Holy Spirit into them. And they are able to do amazing things. They're able to go out on the street and proclaim to the people in many different languages so that people can hear that story of Jesus. And the church is born. And on that day, 3,000 people are baptized. Amazing things happen. And that moves us in into the season of Pentecost, where we hear the stories of the life and the ministry of Jesus, of how he's able to bring new life to many different people. Healing a lame person, bringing sight to the blind, healing the son of a widow woman, giving new life to both, of talking to an outcast, a woman at the well, and changing her life forever. Jesus talks to and ministers to common everyday people, people like us. Which brings us today, the last Sunday of the year, Christ the King. And we hear that story once again of Jesus being crucified, and that seems like such a strange story to have as Christ as a king. But that story tells us what kind of king we have. We have a carpenter who is the Messiah. We have someone just like us who came to this earth, but yet is still God Almighty, who came to this earth, lived among us, worked among us, came in contact with all these things that are normal and common in everyday life, but yet is still the King. A king who is a servant, a king willing to lay down his life for us and bring us salvation. And out of these mighty acts, then, we have that promise that we will be raised to new life. As we read through these stories, you see the amazing things that Jesus did. You also see amazing stories of what his disciples did and his other followers then, too. I mean, of that church just exploding in those first few years. And you may think, well, I'm too old to do any of that. I'm too young to do any of that. I don't know how to do any of that. I'm too busy to do that kind of thing. But you know what? God can use anybody. God can use you. He even uses me sometimes to do ministry, to bring that story, to tell that story, to show that story of Jesus Christ bringing salvation to all of us. He can use any of us, and he does use us, whether it is as a pastor or whether it is just simply praying for somebody else. We can do ministry or helping someone in need or cooking a meal for someone. We can do ministry. Also, too, there's times when we feel solo. We may feel angry. We may feel the grief of someone who is very close to us. We may feel pain. We may have received devastating news from a doctor or from somebody else. And we get into those depths. But as we hear this complete story of Jesus Christ, it does give us hope. Even if that hope is just a small spider thread, we still have that hope, and that hope is able to drag us out of the abyss. Christ has saved us. He has given his life for us, and he has risen from the dead. Christ is the King. Amen.